You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
Hello, Schmoville. Well, it is another episode of the Schmoes No Movie Show. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're joining us back again, welcome back. It's me, Christian Harloff, and...
Welcome, one and all. I am Mark Ellis, and we are thrilled to have you back on another live edition of the Schmoes No Movies podcast. Well, it's live on the Google Hangout, then this will be on iTunes up very soon. Got a lot of breaking news for you. The special guests are us.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It is a special. Tiffany Smith, who is our co-host, was fired. No, she'll be back next week. And here's a special announcement. I'll say it once here, and then we'll talk about it at the end of the show. But this next week will be the last show, not ever. We're going to go on a hiatus, and there's a good reason for why we're doing that. So next week will be the last show, hopefully 3 weeks, maybe a month.
They call that the penultimate show. But again, it's not going away for...
No, we're just taking
a little bit of break. Mark Ellis is going to do some road work. Christian's going to take care of his wife and his kid. We're going to regroup, and then we're going to have a whole new podcast experience for you. When this show comes back, buckle up your goddamn safety belts.
That's right. Well, people have been asking, like, well, what about the network that you guys talked about? What about, you know, the separate shows and all that? More announcements to come within the next couple of weeks. We're not going to hold it as long as the Star Wars news does, but we will absolutely let you know what's going on soon. And today, Mark, first of all, we had a great week in Schmoville. On Monday, we were on AMC Movie News with our buddy Jeremy Johns.
Yeah, Jeremy was in town. He was hanging out at my pad, and we filmed the U Reviewers Awards as well.
Yeah.
So that segment will be up on his channel and on our channel in a little bit here, I guess a few weeks. And then we did the AMC Movie News. It was fun. We had a lot of cool screenings. We got to see RoboCop. We got to see some really crappy Valentine's Day movies.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see Super Early Need for Speed. We can't talk about that yet. What we can talk about is all the cool breaking stories that we have on the website.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do for the most part here. We're going to talk about the stories that we, again, if you're not following us on our website. Our website right now has been kicking some serious ass, and today is a testament for that. There was so much stuff. I mean, the writers that we have on our website right now are kicking ass.
Yeah, the writers and the editor-in-chief, which is me,
right?
Mark Ellis.
That's right.
I am the guy that makes the website go.
That is a false...
Hey!
Yeah, that voice in the background will be one Rob Riggle, Mark Riley, who is
Riggle.
The...
I don't get it.
That's all right. Editor-in-chief Mark Riley has been... leading his soldiers into fighting a great war, because we have there's some good stories out there. In the geek world, man, they're fighting the geek war. It is good stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so we're going to talk about those stories. And you guys, if you're watching us right now, go ahead and bring up schmoesno.com, and we're going to go through some of these stories as movie news that the website talked about today, and even one big breaking story that we got exclusively. We'll talk about that as well. The beers are cold. We're getting ready to rock. Riley, why don't you go ahead and tell us one of the stories that you wanted to talk about today. Interns, don't worry about it. I'll do your work.
That's nice.
Look at the intern just sitting there drinking.
JTI, look at him. He's just sitting there.
You guys have to steer the
show. No, go ahead. No, turn your back. That's definitely going to help. I don't want you out of the frame. I want you to help me swivel the camera.
This is amazing. These
guys have been here for a year and a half.
Guys are sitting there drinking beer like you know, this is a bar or something. You got a job to do, right? Well, let's start. I'm going to start with just a news article that we posted a couple days ago that picked up some steam today, and it's exclusive, and that was Knight Rider being rebooted by the Weinstein Company, and it looks like Chris Pratt and...
There you go, right there. That was it.
Chris Pratt
and...
What happened?
Just swiggle the mic. Just right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
Is that right, Ken Napsok? I'm being told not to talk too loud.
I think Ken was a little disappointed because Ken's not doing the news this week. Is that?
Yeah, I know. I think
the news is.
Oh, yeah, that's why people are. What's going on with Ken? Ken wasn't able to do the news this week. Something happened. He'll be back next week to
what
do
mean
it.
Something He's happened.
Here. He had gas. He had serious gas.
Well, I understand that.
He blew his ass out. Yeah, all right, you ready?
We've all been there. Too much Red Robin will do that too.
Yeah. So I'm just reading down the list because I'm not going to do what Ken Napsok does.
No, just tell us the story.
So Knight Rider has offers out to two major stars, Chris Pratt and. Shit, what's his name?
Danny McBride.
Sorry, Danny McBride.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was an exclusive scoop that we got, and that
got
is...
Got that one from the Phantom,
we
right?
got that one from the Phantom, and it's very interesting because it looks like they're going to go the route like 21 Jump Street, kind of make action comedy, and I can see... They don't say what they're up for, but right. I can see it being Chris Pratt as Michael Knight and the voice of Kit, Danny McBride.
Yeah, you know, that... I kind of hope that isn't. I agree with you that I think that that's probably what those that combination would be.
Yeah.
My problem is that Kit gets too stupid.
Yeah.
Like it becomes joke. I'd rather have Kit serious. Let Chris Pratt do his thing that he does so well.
I think that it might be them both going out for the David Hasselhoff role.
That's because
I think it would be a nice stretch for Danny McBride to not just be a bumbling simpleton, which he's great at. He is phenomenal. He was by far the funniest thing of one of the funniest movies this past year, This Is the End.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really interesting choice. I like Chris Pratt in pretty much anything these days, but I don't want to put too much on that guy's shoulders because, barring the other Guardians of the Galaxy news we'll get into later, I like him as a lead in these big franchises, and I don't know that you want to distract him with something as silly to me as Knight Rider.
But again, look, they tried to do a TV show, and the TV show was... The reboot TV show was terrible. They've been working... Like, our buddy Naveed McElargy was actually working on a Knight Rider project for a while, and it was a comedy, and he said
It's got to be done in the 21 Jump Street model.
But I think that they are going to do it that way. I think that's obviously from those two castings, but don't you think it would be cool to do a version that's, like, badass? And again, I know this is always the reference, but, like, with a Tom Hardy or, like, a Fassbender, like, on that reference, I know it's a different movie, but I think this is the route to go. Danny McBride as Kit, I hope, isn't the case.
You know what? The more I think about it, the more we talked about it. I mean, what were some of the other parts in Knight Rider that he could do?
It was like the main guy who helped him out. Like,
yeah, maybe.
I remember the TV show. Wasn't there some sort of helicopter pilot involved, or is that... That was Airwolf.
It doesn't matter. What's next? What's next?
This is the Airwolf movie coming out.
Right. Okay, next. Next up is that we got another exclusive tip from one of our sources that I can't name our name, This is not a Phantom.
Can we name him after another like C level superhero?
We have another
Aquaman.
One coming up.
This is just
our source. Okay, okay. One of our sources has claimed that the Magnificent Seven remake is happening.
It's going to happen.
MGM has been trying to do it for
Tom
years
Cruise
now.
At one point,
Tom Cruise was attached at one point. He's dropped out. Many directors have been attached. Now they have it out to Antoine Fuqua, who did Training Day, who did Olympus Has Fallen.
Right.
He's got the offer on the table. It's up to him to take.
I gotta tell you that I like that choice because Magnificent Seven to me doesn't have to be a big great Oscar thing. Like go a little out of control Olympus Has Fallen style for me. I'm okay with that. I want to see some obscure violence. Give me some cool like action stars together and put it's essentially the Expendables but with
that's why I'm like I don't really get pumped for this, especially Olympus Has Fallen was okay. I watched Antoine
Fuqua. You liked Olympus Has Fallen.
I think I did like it, but it was okay. I think that Antoine Fuqua, he also did Broken City, right?
What did he do?
Did he do Broken City?
No, he didn't do Broken City.
He did End of Watch. No, he did not.
I thought he did Broken City.
That was David Ayer.
Pretty sure he did Broken City.
Really?
What's Broken City?
Willing to put with Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe?
I think he wrote and directed it,
and that was a pile of garbage. Right. I caught that on TV.
Well, the interns are looking that up. We'll find that out soon.
Can somebody explain to me what exactly Magnificent Seven was? Who was in the original?
Yeah, Riley?
Well, can I just say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
If they don't put Jerome Bettis in as the Jim Brown character...
Oh, right.
Okay, I know exactly what it is now, yeah.
Alan Hughes.
Did
Broken City.
Did Broken City.
All right, my bad, Schmoville. I'm sorry.
Nice. Well, you're like...
Giving credibility to that asshole who comments and hates me.
Let's talk about that real quick. So here's something funny, though, too. And I think we've only really done this with, like, the Man of Steel thing. And this one we actually got a kick out of, too. When you do YouTube reviews, when you do anything on the internet, or anything in general...
Anytime you give an effort in life.
Anytime you put yourself out there, you have to be ready that you're going to get people as great as you're getting right here in Schmoville and people who want to interact. So, but you're going to get your morons and your people
they're known as trolls.
Trolls. Right? There are some people who are passionate about their opinions and will say some stuff and they'll argue back and forth. That's fine with me. I don't mind that. That's what I actually love. That's one of the reasons I love doing this, because you get a back and forth. There's someone who's not going to have the same opinion as you, but they'll give you good points and go, shit, I didn't think about that. That guy actually made a better point of what I was trying to say there.
Well, I always said that if you're going to be doing a bunch of videos where you're basically criticizing a movie, good or bad,
yeah,
you
should
can't take it.
Right.
You shouldn't dish it out.
But
it's weird to wake up and, like, the first day, like, I woke up, I got a shower, I had a protein shake, and I was like, you know what? This is a new day for Mark Ellis. I'm not going to worry about that girl that's not calling me. Today's a new day. Today's the start of Mark Ellis 2.0. And then I decided to check the YouTube comments. First thing I see is, hey, Christian, you've really matured in your reviews. Mark, I hope you die a slow, painful death.
Yeah, it's like
thanks, man.
This one particular guy just has it out for you, man. And we almost banned him today from the channel.
No, don't ban him.
No, but that was it. We almost banned him. But then Mark was like, I forget what the comment was, but like, nah. That was funny enough to where you can kind of.
He's only making me goofier, you know. He's only making me. When we turn on the camera, and I apologize to you for this, I'm only doing it to make this guy's life miserable.
I don't. That's my whole performance. That's fine. I'm with you, buddy. All right. So
and I got to be in bed with Justine Marino. So.
Oh yeah. By the way, if you haven't checked out the Endless Love review, Ellis got his freak on. So check that out. Now let's talk about some other stories here too. And if you're out there, you creep. Get lost.
He's a nice guy. Right. Just a little misunderstood. Don't wish death on people.
I didn't wish death on anybody. I just called him a creep.
I'm talking to him. You creep?
All right.
All right. So next, as far as news, we have Tarzan swinging into theaters July 1st.
Was that a sister?
Yeah. 2000.
Sounds like a priest.
Yes. July 1st, 2016.
God knows what you have to confess for.
July 1st.
Tarzan has been greenlit by Warner Brothers. It's going to star Alexander Skarsgård as Tarzan, Margot Robbie as Jane.
I'm in.
And
Phil Collins song from the Disney movie be back?
God, I hope so.
No, but give me the director. Was it
the director is David Yates of Harry Potter 5 through 8.
Christoph Waltz and who else?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay,
good cast. Yeah. Good director.
Everything. Because that's the thing we were talking about the other day. I don't remember what specific notion what it was, but it's like a matter of if you get the right team, you essentially could make anything cool. You know, and like, not that Tarzan isn't cool in general, but like the fact that you have David Yates who kicked ass on a Harry Potter movies. I mean, just kicked ass, man.
Absolutely.
Now, if you have him. And then you have Skarsgård as Tarzan, who in general is like 6'4", big dude. And then Margot Robbie as Jane. I mean, holy shit. You talk about a woman who's like just...
You want to see her in a skimpy outfit.
Yeah, remember when we were on McCougar's show, Between the Sheets, he asked who's the hottest girl in Hollywood. It was before she blew up. And I said, you watch. The girl that was in About Time, and I think she's coming out in Wolf of Wall Street. And then, she is about the hottest thing out there. So her as Jane, I'm in. And yeah, Sam Jackson is great in the movie as well.
But you seem very, very excited just to see a Tarzan movie.
I don't know if I really care about Tarzan the Ape Man. That's the thing. I'm not excited just because it's Tarzan. I'm excited because of the team assembled. This Christoph Waltz, Samuel L. Jackson, David Yates directing, Margot Robbie. I mean, these are people that. This could be a cool movie.
But you want them to put franchise. Their talents towards... Like, do you like Tarzan himself?
What's the story?
He swings on vines.
No, come on. You're thinking cartoon wise. Like, Greystoke was actually, for the first 15 minutes, was dark, was really cool.
Yeah, it was
and
scary.
Then just got shitty and boring. But did you ever see it with Christopher Lambert?
Yeah, Legend of
Greystoke. No, I missed that one.
Legend of Greystoke.
But I've seen all the Johnny Weissmuller Tarzans, and he's really good as Tarzan.
You gotta go dark with it. I think they might, but... And David Yates can go dark. We know that.
Christoph Waltz can go dark.
Definitely. And you gotta assume he's gonna be the asshole hunter that wants to get dark.
Look good in that hat.
I think it's due for, like, a upgrade, you know, especially with the effects where they are now, and David Yates, you said
I dig it. I do too. What do we got next?
All right, so you guys really want to see a Tarzan movie.
We're up for seeing a Tarzan movie. Okay, so what broke today?
Well, what about, what do we have?
Well, no, we have a smaller story that broke today, but then something that's going to hit. So, will we see a Black Widow solo flick? Kevin Feige came out and said, and I quote here as soon as it loads, he has said that we learn more about her in the next Avengers, and it's going to go deeper into the character of Black Widow. We're going to
probably get some tidbits in Captain America too.
Yeah,
also.
We'll probably get some tidbits, and they're exploring even further and have some development of a possible spinoff. So they're talking about it, which I think is kind of interesting to see that maybe Black Widow will get a movie.
Do you think this is their Ellis? Do you think this is their that if they do this, this is their mulligan for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't think that. I think at this point you can't take a mulligan for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But I mean, but that's essentially what it would be because she doesn't have superpowers. You probably have to have Hawkeye in there. Captain America would probably have to make an appearance depending on what happens in this movie.
It would rely more on the other characters from the Avengers than like an Iron Man 3 would.
I mean, how do you do a full movie on the Black Widow though? I mean, it's a spy movie, is what it is.
She just shoots guns.
Well, she's a spy.
But there's a really cool story in there. Like, there's a lot of... The thing is that you have to look at it as a standalone film, because there's a lot of cool movies where all they do is shoot guns, you know? But when you put her and she's in this universe where there's aliens and there's Hulks and there's Captain America's, you just expect so much more. So if they market it right and they're like, look, asshole comic book fan, this isn't what this movie is. This is with Scarlett Johansson and this is her getting her training for Black Widow, then I think it could be cool. It's not going to make an ass ton of money like the Avengers will, but I think it could be successful.
I agree.
All right, wait, before you turn that, a lot of these comments are coming in, so I wanted to address one of them, and I actually posted this on our Facebook. Our buddy Hal Rudnick from Screen Junkies.
Yeah, very funny guy.
Very funny guy. Did you see the video today that I posted?
Yes, I did.
All right,
brilliant.
So this is something Michael Coleman asks. Can you guys please talk about that awesome Shia LaBeouf's video that Hal Rudnick did? So funny. Some people think it's funny. Some people think that it's kind of fucked up because the guy's so messed up. Shia LaBeouf is so screwed up. But, you know, it depends on the reports here, and I'll explain kind of what the video was in a second. But the reports of Shia LaBeouf is the fact that he's so screwed up, and he's just kind of going off the deep end, and he's missing a tooth, and he's just a douche on the loose. The
douche on the loose.
The other
trademark pending.
Yeah. The other thing is that the rumors are that he's doing this performance art thing. That he basically, what he did was he sat himself down with the stupid bag on his head and allowed and set up like a whole press thing or a line of people to go in and like observe him, not really interview. You could talk to him if you wanted to. And so Hal Rudnick goes in there, and this is on Screen Junkies channel right now. You can watch it, by the way. He goes in there and he waits online. And he walks in and he sees the guy with the bag on his face and he starts talking to him, right? And he's just riffing back and forth. Mm-hmm. Takes the bag off and sure as shit it's Shia LaBeouf, right? And he's talking to him and he just asks him, he goes, he's like, what are you, every day on your Twitter you've been apologizing. Are you apologizing for Indiana Jones Part 4? And he's like, and Shia LaBeouf is just staring at him like dead eyes. Like it's incredible. It's a car crash. It's a car, but Hal Rudnick's got the balls of an elephant because he just is going back and forth with this and just not stopping. It's I couldn't stop watching.
There's actually a lot of these now. I mean, I've actually seen not only Hal, but there's some people that posted. Like one guy went in and he chose the whiskey bottle and he brought it in and same kind of deal. The bag was over the head. He pulled it off.
That to me is why. Look, the other day when he walked out of when he quoted the soccer player and then walked out of the press conference, for me, that was when I thought he was still crazy, missing the tooth. I'm starting to believe the performance art thing.
He's doing like a Joaquin Phoenix thing.
I'm starting to believe it because if you set this kind of thing up, and I don't know if maybe he plagiarized and did all that stuff and then fucked up and said, oh, maybe now he's trying to kind of do some more stuff to really go with the goofiness of it.
He's like, I'm already crazy. Let's at least make it look like I would plan this.
Guts go times 20, and I'm going to make, you know, Busey look like Clinton. So so you go through that, and you just got to assume, and he kept a straight face the whole time. And I've said this, the guy is a talented actor. I can't stand the motherfucker, but he's a good actor.
He's really talented when he's saying other people's words.
Right. So anyway, that is.
I want to point out that during that story, Christian had two great phrases. He said "douche on the loose" and "balls of an elephant." Well done.
Thank you. Well, it's true, man. You watch this. I texted. I shot Hal a text right afterwards, and I said, "Dude, I've laughed at all your stuff, but this is the best thing you ever done." I couldn't stop. It wasn't just because it was the LaBeouf. It was the fact that the way that he did that. He committed, and I just respected it. So if you haven't seen the Screen Junkies, you might hate it, you might love it. Check it out. It's on Screen Junkies. Let's move to the next story.
All right, we got the second to last story before the big one.
Okay, what do you got? I want to make sure you're talking about one of these ones that we might talk about on Far, Far Away.
Oh,
wait a minute.
Netflix?
Oh,
we got a lot of talk about stories on this that we talk about on Far, Far Away.
Sure. Okay, then I take that back. Three more stories.
Let's talk about that one.
First off, I'm going to start with Guardians of the Galaxy. We know that the trailer is coming.
Yay!
February 18th, it's going to debut.
Okay, I can wait. It's a trailer. Four more days.
You've seen it already.
Huh?
You've seen it already.
Hey, not everybody was in that room at Comic-Con.
Let them say, yeah, you saw it.
I wasn't in the room at Comic-Con.
You didn't see it at D23? Yes, you did.
I want to see it again.
I'm with you. I'll
he realized you saw it in his eyes when he's like, "Oh shit, I did see it."
You know what's hilarious though is that like it's just in my head that I didn't get to see it.
Now
I saw
wait a
the
minute.
Grain.
Let me throw a devil's advocate in there. How do we know that that's what they're showing? They've shot a lot more stuff now. We might be getting a full new.
Hit him,
trailer.
Riley! Hit him! You got him on the ropes.
Yep.
Keep hitting.
They might, but I'm pretty sure they are. I hope. Actually, Ellis, I want you to watch and tell me if it's different because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm done with...
No, I could go for one more. We're on the same page because we don't like seeing trailers and when they give too much away.
I really want to see it.
I want one more tease. I want one more tease.
It's 2.5 minutes long. Okay? Yeah. That's how long the trailer is.
Wait, I thought there was this new rule. When does the new rule kick in?
Well, the new rule won't kick in for like next year or something.
So is the D23 one.
It was about 2:30. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
On that same post that you can find at Schmozno.com, there's some great test footage that we got our hands on of Rocket Raccoon shooting his machine gun on top of Groot. It's pretty cool looking. It's a few few screen grabs, but under the same heading.
When are you ever going to see Bradley Cooper standing on Vin Diesel's shoulders firing off a machine
gun? Yeah, you're not. This is as close as you're going to get. Yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy is coming at the trailer February 18th. Check out Schmozno.com. It'll be on there. Second to last story is Clone Wars. The final season is going to debut on Netflix. We're so excited. Star Wars fans everywhere should be excited.
This is a cartoon, right?
This is the cartoon because we didn't really have any closure because, as you know, Disney bought Lucasfilm.
I'd like to bring in Ken for this. Ken, can you? I'd like to bring in Ken. Ken was a big fan of the show because he and I would go back and forth on texts on this.
It's a great show.
It's a great show.
It's an animated series that, because I tried to watch the movie on a plane and I couldn't get through. And that's what everybody says. The movie was not that good, but the TV show, it's animated, but it's really made for adults.
Here's what I'm curious about, because they didn't say this in the release today, and they did say there's a lot of stuff that came out about the show Rebels, that's all going to be canon. Like, that'll all count in the mythology of everything. Like, it's going to lead up, which is really cool, by the way. Real quick, we'll get into the Clone Wars for sure, but with Rebels, what they're going to do, I was reading this today, is that it's going to be about between like a 16-17 year period between episode 3 and episode 4. So it'll start, the rebellion will not have formed, but by the time the series is concluded, like, and it's done, the rebellion will have
formed. Then it's time to steal some Death Star plans.
Right.
Yeah.
So but what I'm saying there is that all that will count in the mythology of stuff. So anything that they use in that series will, J.J. Abrams has to pay attention to that, and anybody who makes future Star Wars movies. So the question now is, because Disney has made this agreement with Netflix, Netflix now will be showing all of the last season of Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Does that count? Now, the Clone Wars, does that count as canon? You would assume, Riley?
This is what I think.
Okay.
Because not only did we have that announcement, but there's some video that came along with it, and it's Qui-Gon Jinn talking to Yoda. He's become one with the Force.
And they can find this on Schmozno.com.
If you go to Schmozno.com, check out the Clone Wars on Netflix story. You can see a small clip with Yoda communicating with Qui-Gon Jinn, and it's Liam Neeson's voice.
Right, they brought him back.
It is actually Liam Neeson's voice.
They got the guy from the Great of Qui-Gon.
Is canon. That's canon. He was in the prequels. That's canon.
Well, yeah, I know.
How can you ignore that?
I know. But if that's the case, then that also means that Darth Maul's alive.
True.
Right.
True.
Because that happened in the series.
Because they
sent a paycheck to Liam Neeson. Now we have to consider everything that happened in this Clone Wars series. I don't buy that.
Here's the thing.
As far as the movies go, it's very exciting.
But I'll tell you why, though. I'll tell you why you might have
shit,
to.
Though.
It's confusing, and I think that's a question for the guys who are taking over.
Yeah.
The question is, like, because Disney had to approve this. Disney made a deal with Netflix to air this the same way they're doing with this Marvel stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that it will be canon because Disney, if it wasn't, would say, no, we need to throw that stuff in the side because we don't want to confuse fans.
Yeah.
You're not going to put something out that people are going to see.
I understand that point, but I also think that they know how much money Star Wars can make, and I think that I think it's about money. I think it could be about money more than Star Wars.
And I think that the devil's advocate going with your point is that it could also be a thing to where they say, look, the fans really loved Clone Wars, and we gave them no closure on it.
Yeah.
And it's also that, look, there's billions of people that are chomping at the bit to hear anything. New Star Wars news,
right.
And so that you give them this, it's like, hey, I really want filet mignon, which would be casting news.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to get a steak 'em. which is good, but it's not flaming hot, but it'll distract me for a little bit.
Well, then you get Rebels in the summertime.
Yeah, and that's
the other thing I'm saying is that I don't think that J.J. Abrams is necessarily going to be pressured into adhering to anything that happened in the Clone Wars or Rebels, but he could. But I don't think that's the reason why they're doing
well,
it.
Well, let me ask.
Why
Ken,
is Ken Knapp's like?
Well, I was just about to ask Ken. Ken, so how are you as a Clone Wars fan? You watched the series pretty religiously, right?
Yeah, I did. Can I say, first of all, it's nice to be talking about Star Wars on a podcast. I don't get invited to other ones.
That's bullshit. That's
you know
bullshit.
What? You and me both. I never get invited to say far, far away thing.
Says both the guys. I asked the guy to my right if he wants to co-host with me, and he's too busy eating Crave with no milk. And then
Crave is a cereal, for those guys don't know. It's really, really good.
And then I got Grouchy Pants McGillicuddy over here.
You guys just have to get into the expanded universe, and then you got a golden ticket. Right?
Yeah, the expanded universe known as Van Nuys, California, which I don't want to drive.
All right, Greg McStink. So, what do you got? About?
Hey, look. First of all, the Clone Wars movie, the first half was actually really good. Then it got into the Hutt character, who was like Truman Capote.
The first season, the movie, but
the Clone Wars series was great. They had some missteps. They had some kid stuff. They had a character that was a walking, talking shark. And I'd never fully liked the Darth Maul coming back as a half man type of thing. Just let it go. But Neeson appeared on a couple times, right?
Yeah,
he did. And they brought him back. And this is kind of I can really go either way. I can go with both marks here. I understand where Ellis is coming from, where they might say we just got to get closure here. We got to put a Star Wars thing out. But then I can also see. I want to see what Leland Chee has to say, who is part... Right. He's one of the guys who
he's
is...
He's the brain trust.
That I'd like... We should make a phone call to their office, seriously.
Yeah.
And ask them, just that question. There's no comment,
interns,
it's no comment.
Get on that.
Seriously. Yes.
I think Makuga makes that phone call.
But we should...
I think Makuga's the guy that makes that
We
call.
Need to call Disney.
But a lot of the people behind Rebels are the same people behind Clone Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so I trust them, number one. I'm excited for Rebels, though my spec script Rise of the Rebellion is now useless. But whatever. I need closure for Clone Wars. They were going to do it as a comic book for Dark Horse. Right. Maybe they still are.
But probably not now because there's probably such a riot.
I need to know.
Yeah, you're gonna find out. And did you see the clip today? What it was?
No, not today.
I don't know if I want to spoil it for everybody.
So cool.
It's really cool what happens.
I'll watch the clip.
Just
back there.
I'm not going to spoil it for you guys. But again, like Riley said, it's on the website. So go.
Okay, here's my question to you two guys. Because again, like I was saying before the podcast came live, I'll go toe to toe with anybody as far as original trilogy war. You guys love the expanded universe and everything that involves with it. Do you love it to the point? Yeah. Well, and I'm not talking about the prequels that you have to be married to. But
there's
some
stuff that works.
You guys love a lot of the expanded universe mythology, right?
Yeah,
the novels and the graph. Yeah.
I'm not as into it as Harloff, but what he does give me, like the Darth Bane.
Yeah.
I get into that,
right.
and I read the
it's certain
the
mythology.
Heir to
I just
the Empire.
Here's what I worry about is because I love Star Wars to death, and I'm fearful of if a story comes out that JJ says he's like, yeah, we like that, but we just didn't want to go with that character, even though that's canon or whatever the hell that is. That's going to piss me off when there's a geek backlash a year before this movie even comes out, and everybody's already shitting on it.
On the podcast that we do Far Far Away, we talked about it as well with Riley and I. There was, you get these characters, they might change their names, they might not change their names. It's tough because, like you said, people are going to be pissed off either way. It's just I trust in J.J. Abrams and his writers that they're going to put together a story, and we're going to have to suck it up and deal with whatever canon it is.
I liked in the prequels. I can actually find positive stuff in those movies at times. They actually threw references into some of the extended universe characters. Plagueis, but all that. There was the bounty hunter in Phantom Menace who showed up. They make reference to a Jedi who's had a
Cypher Diaz.
No. That was a rebel on the rebel side. There was a guy.
God. And Harloff is in shape.
Yeah.
God, you know
so
your shit.
I like all that
You're
kind of stuff. The expanded universe is too much. I looked at I was starting to read Plagueis, and they have the timeline, and I love the timeline.
Yeah,
I'm a guy who read all the appendixes of the characters in Game of Thrones.
There's good shit and bad shit.
They included, mind you, when I was a kid, I wanted Star Wars stuff. I was 7 or 8, went to the library, checked out some books called The Lando Adventures.
Right.
The most
terrible,
horrible.
Right.
Yeah. And that's counted as canon right. on these things. In the
not anymore, though. And that's the whole thing. Universe. Now
that's
it's all going to change.
Too much.
Is there like a
it's
Vatican for Star Wars that designates whether these things actually make it into the Bible or not?
I don't know. But like,
I think it's Jet Lucas.
But Ken, I would love to have you on the show. And Ellis, of course, would love to have you on the...
I'll do it.
We're going to talk everything Star Wars.
If Ken drives me, I'll do it.
And if you guys want to hear more Star Wars stuff, again, the Far, Far Away show is on iTunes. So check that out, Geek Nation. But let's get to and check out Clone Wars, by the way. That is going to be on Netflix in March.
Yeah, it's you can a watch great all, series.
It's a great series.
That's quick, man.
But dude, you can watch all of them now. They'll all be instantly. You never could do that before. It's the first series that Disney and first Star Wars thing that's ever been on Netflix now. Yeah. So that's another reason. But all right,
another change subject. Yeah. So just, if you're watching the Clone first season, they do in each season they sometimes have two or three, sometimes four episode arcs. In the first season, there's a 3-episode arc. That's some of the best Star Wars storytelling I've ever read.
Wow. I'm telling you, there's some really good moments that I'm telling you could get into for sure.
Yeah, Emma Cougar, should I watch Clone Wars or True Detective?
True Detective.
Oh yeah! By the way, Josh McCougar will now be on Schmo Plus Plus. All right, Riley, go ahead.
All right, now we're going to end with the biggest news of the day. Something that Schmoes know broke exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
And that is we know what's
JTI is a virgin.
JTI is a virgin. You can see it on schmoesknow.com. Click on
see it every day Thursday at 8 p.m.
So the big news is we know what's going to happen in Phase 3. We got the lineup. We have a very reliable source,
okay.
A good friend of mine named Victor Jones. Okay. That's not his real name, but that's his
How
alias.
Can Victor Jones be trusted? I'm asking as an outsider, if you're like, okay, so why did the schmoes get their hands on this? Why can Victor Jones be trusted that this scoop is legit?
Victor Jones gave me a lot of inside information, some backstories that had been true, had been confirmed. Not only, hey, peanut gallery.
No, don't. That's the whole point. I went like this. You don't have to acknowledge it.
Snap my fingers. They're whispering like Victor Jones.
Stay on target.
Hey, it's fun.
I can't check.
So we went back and forth talking a lot about certain things, and what tipped it off for me was his knowledge of the upcoming slate, the inner workings of what Kevin Feige is saying, and also what's happening with Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Okay, so what are some of these stories that Mr. Jones has given us?
Well, but wait, before he reveals the plans for Phase 3, is any of this knowledge going to spoil stuff that we would see in Captain America 2 or the Avengers 2? Like, I don't want to know.
No,
too much
we actually
stuff.
Made
a lot of fans don't want to know all these minutiae.
We actually
before.
Made a choice. To Riley and I today made a choice that there was one of the things that Mr. Jones had given us was really like full plot details on Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
we decided not to post that.
Well, if I was involved in that meeting, I would have concurred
because we don't want to be that kind of site. Like, especially, I feel like I was a hypocrite too because I don't want to watch these trailers yet. I'm showing everybody what's in the movie.
Yeah,
I want to leave that to people's imagination.
People love trailer. That's more of a thing. But I don't want to.
I don't want to give the details of a movie, and I don't want to piss Marvel off.
I like our site to reflect what kind of fans we are. Where we like to have information gearing up to it, but we don't want to have the movie ruined for us.
Exactly. Yeah, so exactly. That's why I want. I'm very curious to hear about Phase 3, though. So please.
Yeah. Phase 3 is just simply confirmation of what movies we're going to get. Now, I can say this. Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2, something that was broken and that took fire that we reported on, not happening. At least not according to Victor Jones. There's no script. There's no development. What he is saying is Marvel has looked at Guardians of the Galaxy as a one and done. Now, I said in my article...
Once that makes $100 million opening weekend.
Right.
Exactly. All bets are off if it makes a lot of money.
It gives them an out.
Yeah.
It gives them an out.
Because it gives them an out.
What
right.
it is the fact that if you have Guardians of the Galaxy, which is not a proven franchise, some people don't know what the hell it is.
Exactly.
And plus the fact, not a lot of people who, again, we're joking about it, but we got to see the footage. I think the overall movie looks pretty cool. If you're just judging it off of the extended scene off Thor 2, you might be like, oh, that looks really goofy.
Look at that hair. That's
awful. It looks really goofy. And like again, like even talking to Jeremy, because Jeremy Johns had not seen that, and he was like, oh, it looks more on the goofy side to me because of that last scene.
Yeah.
And I'm on the other side because of the other footage I saw. However, public opinion right now is swaying towards the goofiness. If I'm a Marvel guy, I'm going, let's just give it a one and done for now.
For now, yeah.
And then maybe if
it's coming out in August.
Right.
Yeah, and he gave me the caveat. And he said that things can change every day. And things do change every day. But the slate for Phase 3 is as follows. We are going to get a Doctor Strange movie.
Definitely.
Definitely. Okay. That has been Kevin Feige's main goal is to get a Doctor Strange movie.
And that's been rumored to Johnny Depp at one point.
Yeah, that's been rumored to Johnny Depp, even Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You know, it's something of a high priority for Kevin Feige. He even wanted it as a part of Phase 2, but because of shifting schedules, release dates, all these things that change all the time, they couldn't get it in there. Same thing happened with Ant-Man. They always wanted an Ant-Man, but they had to push that to Phase 3.
Right.
So what we have in Phase 3 is we have Ant-Man, we have Doctor Strange, Avengers 3, Thor 3, and Captain America 3.
Wow.
That's all phase three.
That seems legit to me. That seems like a slate that you want to, because again, Thor 2 kicked ass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Captain America 2,
We've already gotten confirmation on Ant-Man.
Right.
We've already gotten confirmation that they hired the writers back for Thor 3.
Right.
We already got confirmation that they hired the Russos back for Captain America 2.
Right.
Avengers 3, no-brainer, and now Doctor Strange, which has been rumored, is happening. It's happening.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mark Riley.
Him and Victor Jones. Now, is JTF still going to be a virgin when these movies come out?
Probably.
Even more so than ever.
Outlook likely.
Well, all right. Well, speaking of, thank you, Mark Riley. Make sure you follow him at Riley Around, and every day you can check out his articles on Schmoesno.com. I want to bring in both JTI and the wild man, Josh McCuga. Let's put JTI in the far left, put McCuga across from Ellis, because there's a couple questions that came in here. And before I get to the boys, I wanted to let you guys know what we're doing tonight. If you check Schmo Plus, last week you and I had a little battle.
Yeah, a little impromptu competition, which we do all the time. Luckily, we had everybody around to watch one of these challenges, because you and I were two very competitive people.
We are.
And it got caught on camera.
It did.
Stuff went down.
And we decided that we're going to do, after we get through some fan questions, and we're talking to you guys tonight, and answering as many of your questions now as we can.
So we will be competing in a game very shortly here on the podcast.
Yeah, tonight. And the game will be basically, it's the date game, which means that... The date game, which means that if you guys can play at home, too. Basically, what it is that JTI will have a bunch of movies, and he will ask Mark and myself what year that film came out. We have to guess, and the first one of five wins. So you guys can go ahead and place your bets right now. Who you think will win the contest tonight? Will I win?
A little bit of backstory.
Or will Mark win? Go ahead and put it down right now. Who you think
will win? Is because Christian feels like he's a savant at this kind of thing. Like, he walks around, he challenges strangers on the street on a day-to-day basis.
I beat a war vet last week. Crushed him.
And when they're like, that's a really specific thing to claim you know, is that you're the best, you're Rain Man when it comes to release. By the way, what year did Rain Man come out?
That would be 1989.
Yes, you missed Rain Man. No,
88.
The savant has been wounded.
No, I did, because I was asked this question today, too.
He showed his hand early.
No, because I screwed up.
Sandbag.
No, you know what it was? It was a Little Mermaid question also.
It'll be a fun game. I'm looking forward to kicking
Anyway, so you guys go ahead, and you can guess now. They're probably going to have a lot of Mark votes after that script. So go ahead. I want to ask the Wild Man, who has a segment every Tuesday on our channel, Wild Man TV.
It's been a lot of fun. Fans have been great.
They've been great. And if you haven't checked that out, again, it's on every Tuesday. You can find that out. It's just based, like, I think this most recent one was titled...
Shameless and True Detective.
So that comes to this question. Steve Lazaridis asks, what do you think about HBO's True Detective? I also bring JTI because he won't shut the fuck up about the show.
He's that guy.
He's like, hey, man, you see True Detective? He's like, it's like, you know, that and Drive. But again, True Detective is, from what I've seen, is a pretty damn good show. I'm only one episode in, though.
Okay, so...
Don't spoil anything.
I'm not gonna spoil anything. I'm under the impression, like, how I behave is I don't tell people what to watch. If they ask me what I'm watching, I tell them what they should look into.
So that's the difference. That's why you have a show and JTI does.
Correct. I don't like go and be like, oh, you're not watching? Are you stupid? Idiots. Yeah. You know, like, half the people that have watched The Wire are like, oh, are you kidding me? You watched The Wire? Go kill yourself.
Well, but JTI was actually... JTI did a marathon. He was playing Crabs with Dolph Lundgren, and they had a whole marathon of True Detective. So,
Justin Hale was the whole time.
JTI, bust your balls for this, but why do you love this show so much?
For me, it's rare that a show comes along that's, like, just fantastic from writing, acting, directing. Like, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad... To me, so far, this show belongs in that category. And when something like that comes around, which doesn't come around very often... I'm going to scream from the high heavens to everybody to check it out, because a year from now, we're all going to be talking about season two, and everyone's going to be like, oh, what's that show? And I'll be like, I've been telling you from day one.
Right. So you want to be that guy to rub it in people's faces.
And I want you guys to review it, because I know Schmoe would love to hear you guys.
Look, I'm playing politics to the fans. No, I love it. I love it. It's smart. No, it's smart.
Here's the thing is, from what I understand, this was just supposed to be 8 episodes of a miniseries. And the response has been so good that they're probably going to do a season two, but they may not, because listen, they've got McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Right.
These are A-list actors.
And that's what I'm saying, is the fact that from what they say, they're going down the American Horror Story type of thing.
Correct.
Now what they have to do is they've got to cast someone bigger than those two guys.
Yeah.
And the writers they can keep on, obviously, and they bring in a good director or whatever, too, and you can do it, but How do you top that with that storyline?
It's like there's a finale to this. There's a finite ending, which is why I like this show.
It's not going to tease you for next season. It's going to be the 8th episode.
It's going to end.
It's going to be where it happens.
It's essentially the series finale, but not.
Right.
Right.
I will say this. Maybe my favorite part of the show is the casting of it. Because, you got Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and they kill. I mean, this is Matthew McConaughey. Like, I just watched Dallas Buyers Club, finally, okay?
Ugh.
It's, like, this he has gone from...
McConaissance.
The McConaissance. I get that. But I've always liked Matthew McConaughey. I mean, he's awesome in whatever he does. Even when he went through the chick flick thing, I still
like... Yeah, but he's not the sex symbol guy anymore.
No.
He's like an actor.
Dude, he is so good in this final scene of episode 4. I mean, JTI has had a boner for a week about it.
Okay? That's fantastic.
He lost his virginity during the show.
To himself.
Yeah.
I heard that second episode scene is enough.
I will, the only spoiler I will give this is that the last scene of the episode is one shot.
Yeah.
For about 7.5 minutes. And no, it's not 7.
All right, so you're telling. So right now, again, because I do want to get to some other questions here too.
Go ahead.
So you guys are both saying that out of anything right now, Breaking Bad. I mean, not Breaking Bad. Walking Dead. Walking Dead. Game of Thrones. This is the show to watch.
Yes.
Game of Thrones is on right now, but when it comes on,
it's still in. It's still in circulation.
Game of Thrones still number one.
Okay, so Makuga, if Game of. So if we're playing Schmoe's choice here, if we're playing Schmoe's choice, and you got to get rid of one, which one do you get rid of?
Oh,
I'm gonna get murdered for this right now.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
You're gonna get rid of Game of Thrones. Yeah. You're gonna keep True Detective.
Wait,
until Game of Thrones actually comes.
Ken just
back.
Threw his laptop out the window.
because you guys are drunk on True Detective right now. Like once Game of Thrones comes back, you're gonna be so into that show.
It's a different kind of thing for me. I don't mean to cut you off. It's a different kind of thing for me because I like Game of Thrones, but this is like. If I were to be in something, I would love to do this show.
JTI, what would you
mentioned
do?
Real quick the writing. You said I think in the second episode of Schmoe TV, Schmoe TV. It's on Schmoe Plus. That's why I was thinking.
I'm playing crabs on Schmoe TV
with Guillermo del Toro this time.
Says the writing is fantastic. It reminds me of David Mamet, Aaron Sorkin.
Yep.
Like you said, you would rewind a scene and watch it just for the dialogue.
Just for the
dialogue. Give me Schmoe's choice.
I take Game of Thrones just because I don't know how the other season of True Detective is going to be.
Yeah.
I look at this as like an 8-hour movie. That's the way I look at
you
True
love
Detective.
It. And you
like,
love it.
I love every
second. Guys, we're digging Game. It's got dragons.
Game of Thrones is my number one.
For somebody like when I my sister-in-law is from New Orleans, but me and a friend did a drive down through like southern Louisiana, and it is. Creepy
crazy
down there.
Yeah, I spent some time there,
and that's the one thing about the show that they do well, which is I feel like Out of the Furnace and a lot of these places where the location is also a character,
right
and they expose the people so well.
Yeah.
Like some of these people my buddy were watching, we're like, I don't know if these are actors.
Right.
Yeah. They might, right?
Yeah. Well, they, like speaking of Gone Baby Gone when they had a bunch of local Boston area.
I'm glad you brought that up because there's something I saw. I guess thank you both to both the Wild Man and JTI.
Thank you guys.
And again, watch Wild Man on every Tuesday on Wild Man TV.
It's been a lot of fun, guys.
There was a trailer that came out.
No, the show. The Wild Man TV has been
The trailer came out today for a movie called Joe.
Yeah.
And it's with Nick Cage and your boy who played Ellis in Mud.
What? Ty Sheridan.
And the reason I bring that up is because...
It's a Nick Cage movie. We should always talk about
that trailer, again, up on schmoesno.com. But if you... There was a guy in there that plays Ty Sheridan's father that I'm convinced is just some dude they pulled off the street and said, hey, I want you to punch him in the face and drink a beer. that's the kind of stuff that the casting is crucial in that
And it's
moment.
Not Nick Nolte? Somebody else?
It's Nick Cage, yeah. I don't really mean the guy that... no, it's just
the
some
beer
random.
Puncher. And,
hey, I was wondering if I could punch him in the face. All right, so here we go. Let's get some more of the questions from Schmoville before we'll play the game in a little bit. Okay. Super Mario fan... 03.
I like him already.
I know you would. Which of these talented actors who have yet to be nominated for an Oscar do you think deserves to be nominated more? Dennis Quaid? Adam Sandler?
Sandler.
Andy Serkis? Arnold Schwarzenegger? Jim Carrey? Jack Black? Or Ray Liotta?
Liotta's awful good. Dennis Quaid is kind of like a... Dennis Quaid...
It's over. It's over.
What?
It's over for Quaid. Oscar stuff?
What are you talking about?
It's over.
They give old people Oscars all the time. We send nomination. They're like, oh, good for him.
He just shows up.
He was good in that... I can't remember the name of the movie.
Exactly.
I would go with Jim Carrey because he's done a couple really powerful performances. Like, one of your favorite movies, Eternal Sunshine. And also a movie that I think was criminally underlooked the year it came out was I Love You, Philip Morris. I thought he was so good in that.
I'm going to go ahead and say Andy Serkis because what that would mean in general is that the Academy is starting to recognize... what motion capture is really all about and what you know the what he's done. He has turned Gollum, Caesar, King Kong into roles that you all of those characters you related to and felt emotion towards because of Andy Serkis' performances, what he did with his eyes and the motion. You're waiting to see Caesar because of what Andy Serkis did.
You know what all the Academy voters just said to you? Oh, you mean that man who plays that dreadful monkey?
Right, exactly. So yeah, so that would be my choice. Okay, so let's see. A lot of excitement for the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yay. Anybody wish death upon me yet?
Our writer, by the way, Alex Welch, one guy who's been kicking.
He's
some,
killing
that
it.
That guy is kicking ass. By the way, Alex Welch, who was a fan of the show, submitted a sample to Riley, and Riley really was impressed with his writing. And this guy is a beast.
Yeah.
Oh, is a beast. Alex Welch, by the way, if you do not follow him, Alex, I don't know what you go ahead and put your Twitter handle in the message boards here on YouTube.
Oh, I got it right here.
And just check on schmozno.com. Any one of Alex's articles, you can go ahead and find his Twitter handle. They're there. Alex is absolutely a guy you guys should follow. He's posting stories all the time. He kicks ass. And
impressive,
we just talked
man.
About Joe. He's really
and
kicking
Riley's
ass.
Riley's generally a dick when he's critiquing writing, too.
You want to get in there? What do you got?
Sorry. I will go on a bender starting tomorrow and have watched all of House of Cards by Wild Man on
Great.
Tuesday.
So you're going to see all the House... You'll be
able to watch the whole
why
thing.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you review the whole series? Then?
I will.
All right,
is your bender going to interrupt our Valentine's Day tomorrow night?
Sir.
All right, so yeah. Wild Man's okay. going to be reviewing House of Cards, so there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Lovely Possum says, were you serious when you said Sam Witwer is going to be on the Far, Far Away podcast, or did you imagine that? Actually, Sam Witwer, who is Starkiller, will be on the Far, Far Away podcast.
And what's the Far, Far Away podcast?
It is a Star Wars podcast that myself and Tiffany Smith do that your agent turned it down. Like Jason Momoa turned down Dax the Destroyer. You turned it down. And now it's number five in iTunes. Hey, you know, we're doing a show back here. Thanks a lot. Five on iTunes. And it is it's kicking ass.
I know. Christian sent the whole team a screenshot of Far, Far Away. I guess I don't know when you sent it because I got it when I was in a movie theater next to you. So I don't know when you had time to send the screenshot, but it was Far, Far Away, like number 5 or 6 on iTunes.
Well,
so
because
congratulations.
But it was cool
the force is strong with this.
But it was cool because we were number 5 in TV and film, and then in the What's Hot section was this very show. Mm-hmm. And so again, it just shows how awesome Schmoville is and how exciting for the passion that we're talking about everything Star Wars movies. So thank you guys for all of that.
Where was my Robot Jocks podcast?
I don't know.
Let's talk about all one. Robot jocks war.
I'll give you one. Here's one. This is a quick question. Chad Taylor asks, hey, Mark, what's your favorite Van Halen album? And what do you think of their latest album, A Different Kind of Truth?
I think A Different Kind of Truth was a magnificent return to form. I can't believe that a band that's been around for that long had the youthful energy that they captured on that 2012 masterpiece. My favorite album of all time is going to be Van Halen 1, but if I had a desert island, I'd take Van Halen 2, because I cannot live without Dance the Night Away. Continue.
Yep. So George Velez...
1984.
Yeah, George Velez asks, with the announcement of a Doctor Strange movie from Marvel's Phase 3, who would you like to see in the lead role? Hey, George, this is Jorge.
Jorge Velez. This is
what,
Jeremy
what I
Jones
did with Jeremy Jones.
Too,
yeah. Jeremy Jones called him George also. Yeah. Jorge Velez asked the same thing, and I wonder if Jorge saw, where did you see that story? Did you see that on our site? I'm curious. Who would you like to see in the lead role?
Well, you know, I think it might be one of those things where, you know, Johnny Depp is so talented, and he hasn't had the right, or he's been mailing it in. I mean, let's try to forget about the Lone Ranger. But this might be the kick in the ass that he needs to really get back to being Johnny Depp again. So I think that's
he's
exciting.
Too big of a star. I think he's too big, and I think that,
you don't think he could disappear into this though.
The problem is that it's just like Doctor Strange. You just assume he's going to play the guy called Doctor Strange because that's like he wants to do that. It's like I'm sick of seeing him do stuff like that. I don't think it's happening. I think he's too big of a star.
Jim Carrey too big of a star?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'd like to see someone like this, you know, come up and coming. You got a name you want to scream out? Just scream it out.
John Hamm is rumored.
Yeah, John Hamm's another guy. I don't know. That's a different JTI.
Viggo Mortensen?
Viggo Mortensen would be cool. Viggo Mortensen is a good choice. That I like. I mean, not that, you know, Viggo Mortensen is obviously very well known, but not the same way Johnny Depp is. You know, like, but anyway, that would be interesting. All right, so we only have about like 7 minutes here. Let's do one more question and then let's get this game going. Let's see. That's another House of Cards.
I got a good feeling about this game today.
Clive Owen as Doctor Strange is a good one, too. A lot of Shia LaBeouf stuff here.
Does Doctor Strange wear a paper bag over his head?
You know, this guy says that George Lucas said that Clone Wars is canon. If it comes from his mouth, it's canon. He doesn't own Star Wars anymore, so that's not necessarily true. Let's see. Do you think they should still do a Flash movie in 2016 with Man of Steel 2?
Yes, I think DC needs something else. You can't put all your eggs in one basket. And this Man of Steel basket is getting pretty damn heavy.
The problem with that's exactly right. The problem is that if that movie fails, everything else fails.
But the Flash wouldn't. The Flash would get out. You can make a cool standalone Flash movie.
But you have
movie.
To tie it, like, if Justice League, which we can call this movie now, fails when it comes out with all this shit going on and Eisenberg doesn't do what you think he might, and that's be a good Lex Luthor, and it just doesn't work. Nothing works. No one's going to care about these standalone movies even if they're good because they have to tie into the mythology.
I completely disagree with you because if Iron Man came out and it was just a standalone Iron Man movie and the adventures just never happened, Marvel's like, oh, we're not interested in doing that right now, then Iron Man still would have been great and everybody would want to see Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3. And The Flash is not a huge he's not like Superman, but he's a popular enough superhero.
That's not my point,
people
though.
Would line up to
That's
see
not
that
my
movie.
Point. My point is not that they can't make good movies out of them because your Iron Man 2 and 3 example. A lot of that is tied. Iron Man 2 was essentially,
but it didn't have to be.
That's maybe it did because that was the whole thing. Is that everything led into the Avengers and tying it all together? There was a plan and there was a map out from the start with that. They could make a good 1, 2, and 3 of these movies. That's not what I'm saying. But the overall grand plan will get fucked if Man of Steel 2 sucks.
The overall grand plan, well, for the Justice League, but you can still have a cool Flash movie.
You can, but I'm just saying, if I'm the guy making the decisions, going back and forth, saying, okay, I want a Flash movie, but it's got to tie in because in Man of Steel 3, I want to see the Flash join the Justice League. You can't do that anymore.
Well, don't you feel like this is one of those things now? Like, you know those like stupid movies, like Endless Love was kind of like that, where you're always looking up to your older brother. Why can't you win more trophies like your older brother? That's what DC is like right now. Because the older brother, Marvel, and it did such a fantastic job of tying all this stuff together that maybe DC shouldn't worry about that shit just yet.
I know.
Just make a good superhero movie.
I'm with
and
you.
Don't
That's...
worry about five movies down the road. Just make a good Flash movie.
Well, I think that you're first concentrating on making Man of Steel 2 or whatever the hell that thing's called now. Make that a good movie. But all right, so with that has come to the end of the Q&A.
Nice.
That's the end of the Q&A session. So JTI will now commence with the game. This is how this works. And you guys, again, go ahead and comment right now who you think is going to win, myself or Mark. It's the first one to five.
And this is not a situation where we buzz in when we know the answer.
So I'm going to go first.
Okay.
That's fair.
It's your game, guy.
That's right.
It's your game.
See?
Whatever you want to do.
That's how it works. All right. So, JTI, why don't you go ahead and... JTI, why don't you stand near Ken over there so we can see you?
Whoa, no.
Oh, wait, no.
You won't hear me.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
All right, Ken doesn't want his space invaded. That's fine. Ken just woke up.
You know my reasons.
All right, here we go. So we're going to go with start off with the Steven Seagal masterpiece, Under Siege.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. Well done.
Under Siege.
And if Christian doesn't get it, then I can steal.
Yes, Under Siege. The first Under Siege.
Do we have one of those sand timers like in Scrabble?
1992.
That is correct.
Well yeah. done.
All right. Christian. So I've got one
on the board.
1 point.
Got to be the best Seagal movie ever.
Mark
made,
Ellis.
Right?
Mark Ellis. Did you know that one?
It's got to be the best.
No, Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill's pretty damn good.
I go under Siege.
All right, it's a Die
Hard
on a boat.
Or is a coma and he grows a beard for 10
I don't know. They're both. I like Under Siege. Well, let's go.
You're thinking Mark Forget.
Yeah, 3 minutes here.
All right, we're going with the classic film with Kevin Costner, The Untouchables.
That was 1987.
Correct.
Yes.
Thank you. Jesus. I'm like Stone. I'm like Andy Garcia in that movie. Yeah.
All right, Christian, here we go. We're going with the first film in the more than trilogy, Mission Impossible.
The first one?
The first
95.
Can Mark Ellis steal it?
Incorrect.
Oh, wait, shit.
1996.
It was 96.
Ellis, 1996.
I saw that movie with a girl.
I saw it with a girl, too, and motherfucker, it was the wrong girl.
Did he hook up?
Yeah, but it was the wrong girl.
You know what I did?
My wife's probably watching this,
too. My mom dropped her off. My mom dropped her off, and then she took me home.
All right, so Ellis is up 2-1.
Yeah. But losing at the game of life.
All right,
let's go with the romantic comedy, considered one of the best, When Harry Met Sally.
I mentioned on Hiding Frank this morning that that was my favorite rom-com of all time.
It's great.
89.
Correct.
Well done, Harloff.
All right. So 2-2. Ellis is up.
Ellis, what year did the Christopher Nolan film Memento come out?
Mm. That's a fucking tough one. That's harder to get than watching that movie. I'm going to say 2001.
Incorrect.
98.
Incorrect, the year 2000.
Mm. Wow. So, Christian, a golden opportunity.
I know, I blew it.
Right, who's next?
It's 2-2.
We're going with the classic football film, Rudy.
Rudy.
Oh, my God. Rudy. Still Rudy. Makes me weep to this
93.
Day.
Correct.
I don't care what Joe Montana says. Yeah. Everything that happened in that is true.
Yeah.
Even the scenes that are fake. Yeah. Everything that happened in that movie is true.
Next film is the underappreciated blockbuster from James Cameron, The Abyss.
The Abyss was 1989.
Correct.
Yeah.
3-3.
I don't know if I've ever sat through the whole Abyss. Really? Always makes me fall asleep.
Ah, so good. Director's cut.
It's good. It's good.
All right, we're going to go with the classic film, The Sandlot.
Oh, that's a good one.
90.
Forever.
Shit.
Yeah, last time we saw it, look down.
I would say that would be 1993.
Correct.
Oh, man. Good one.
Pull that one.
I had that one locked and ready to go. So this is for the win. If I answer this one right, then I win.
No.
Yeah.
It's 3-3 still.
It's not.
Yes, it is. It's 3-3. We're playing a 5.
No, it's 3-3. Oh, it's first one. I thought it was 5 questions.
No,
first one. So you got to get 5.
Yeah. 3-3, first one.
Well, relax. It's still your game.
We're going to go with the Dolph Lundgren classic, Masters of the Universe.
That was 1987.
Correct. Wow.
I've never seen. I maybe am the biggest He-Man fan I've ever met.
Never
it was a cartoon.
It.
Never saw the movie. Any good?
No, it's horrible. It's
nothing redeemable.
That's why you're still a fan.
It's a fun.
It's not a He-Man movie.
Star
it's
Wars
horrible.
Meets He-Man.
No, it's not.
Harlan has a very close connection with live-action He-Man films.
You disgust that.
It's a guilty pleasure.
No, it's not. It's horrible.
Okay. All right, well, let's go.
Why are they on Earth?
Here's a film I think we could all agree we like. Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, Compliance.
89.
Oh, Mark Ellis is going to win this game.
Incorrect.
Really? That's incorrect.
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator, I think that's incorrect.
That's what I said. It's incorrect. What do you know?
Oh, I thought you said he
spit it out.
No, incorrect.
Oh, 1986.
Correct.
Wow. It was 86?
Yeah.
1986.
That might be the first movie I saw in a movie theater.
4-3. I might lose the title here.
No, I believe I won 5-3.
4-3.
Yeah.
It was 3-3, then I got one right, and then I stole yours.
You got He-Man.
Oh, he got
He-Man.
That's right. That's five.
Give Christian one more just to prove that he's good at this game, too.
All right.
I'll give you one.
Yeah, I think it's probably over. I got killed.
All right. Spaceballs.
87.
Correct.
Yeah.
Spaceballs.
All right. Well, that was it. Mark wins.
Spaceballs. Take a game.
It's 1-1. It's 1-1. We'll get. But anyway, I know that I'm getting close to winning my Star Wars bet. I'll tell you that.
Hey, you know what you won?
What?
Your own Star Wars podcast.
I did.
That's a consolation prize.
Which you can find on both Geek Nation. If you go to podcasts and check out Far, Far Away. We just had Jeremy Johns on that show. We will have Sam Witwer will be on the show, the voice of Starkiller, who's also the voice of Darth Bane and the Emperor in
that's
Clone Wars.
That's exciting, man.
Really cool. He's going to be on the show. That's awesome. You can also find that on iTunes, so check that out. JTI, you can find it at Schmo's Intern.
JTI.
At Schmo's JTI. Okay. At Copster15, at Riley Around, at Josh McCouga, at Ken Knapsack, at Tiffany's Tweets, And Mark Riley, where can the good kids find you? Mark Ellis.
My name is Mark Ellis. And I've been your co-host for a while
you
now.
You should know
my last name. Twitter, it's at Ellis5150, at 5150 Ellis, excuse me. It's also the Instagram. Next weekend, I'll be in Las Vegas back at the South Point Casino doing stand-up. So if you guys want to come out to Las Vegas, message us or on Facebook or whatever and let us know. And also, check out our good buddy, Steve Simone. He's pretty much the funniest guy that either one of us has ever met. He just launched his own podcast called Good Times with Steve Simone. So make sure you check that out. He's a very funny dude.
And that's it. We have the Your Viewers Awards coming up soon. Like we said, we shot the whole thing with Jeremy Johns. We shot it at the World Famous Comedy Store. It was a lot of fun.
We went all over that place.
We did. It was really cool. So that'll be coming out soon. The footage is starting to come in from the other reviewers. So make sure, again, follow us on Twitter and check out schmozno.com. We're going to start doing contests, by the way, for very active fans, top commenters and stuff like that. Going to start giving away posters and CDs and a whole bunch of stuff. So it's going to be a really fun time to be a schmovillian on the schmozno.com. So as Wildman breaks shit in the background, we are going to get out of here. Peace out, mother effs. Dude up. Dude.